Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Well, Soledad's already pissed off at us, I think we should say.
So this is now a hostile interview. Go ahead.
Because there's no martini for her, and I feel bad, but I still am okay blaming Matt. What do you think, John?
Well, Matt's not here in the studio with us. First of all, thank you, Soledad, for coming
to
the show.
I'll just drink my cold coffee. It's fine.
Yes.
she's pulling out a knife, everyone.
We just assumed. You know, Soledad, you have been all over television. You're a very respected journalist in this world. We didn't think that you would want to get drunk with us early in the morning.
Didn't say drunk.
There's a gap in there. She never said she got drunk off six.
That's true.
Like, we don't know Soledad as well enough to know what her limit is.
Yeah, why are you assuming things about me?
Yeah, she could drink 10.
I feel attacked right now.
I'm just kidding, y'all.
I know, I'm just teasing. But Soledad, you are hosting Mysteries and Scandals on Oxygen.
New year, new show.
Right.
Who doesn't love a mystery and a scandal?
Love it.
What is the biggest mystery and scandal that has, you know, come about in your investigative journalism?
You know what I think is interesting, and it might come across as sort of the opposite. I love the ones that I'd covered as a reporter. Right. Anything that I, because what happens when you report is you go in and you tell the story. I literally sat on O.J. Simpson's mother's front steps in San Francisco for months at a time. Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Because remember, he was from San Francisco and I was a local reporter in San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
And so every day I would ask her, as she would nicely and lovely woman step over me to say, like, no, thank you. But you don't ever get to put the pieces together. You don't really get the contextual thing about all these different things, little elements that you knew, you don't get them all put together. In the OJ case, sure, we knew he was obviously acquitted of a double murder, but there's so much you don't know. And then the case that he actually went to prison
for, the Vegas case,
nothing is really known about that. Not a lot has been done on that. So we were really interested in to dig into that. What makes it interesting for me for in a mystery and a scandal when I've covered a piece of it, or I feel like I know this story really well.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I don't know the story at all. I didn't know all these details.
The Vegas thing is crazy. I didn't really even know that much about it until, you know, we were watching your show a little bit early.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating, all the stuff. I mean, everyone knows him as being acquitted for the double murder, but the Vegas thing just gets kind of
And the question, of course, and someone was asking me today earlier, you know, to what degree was the fact that he was acquitted in the double murder led to his conviction?
That was one of my questions today
as well.
I mean,
it's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
There's a great doc called LA 92, which takes a look at what was happening in LA in that era. It's fascinating because
the riots, everything going down.
What was happening in LA and in the country at the time framed a lot of both of those cases. So it's really fascinating. I love mysteries and scandals, but the ones that I know a piece of it.
Right.
I did an interview with the person. I knew the story really well. I find those most interesting to me.
We were talking just before we started today about, I am just very impressed at how many credible people are on the first episode with the O.J. Simpson show.
Yes.
Tom Riccio and all the other people
you'll
that were there
that
in the room.
You'll find that throughout the season.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, one thing that happens, and I'm not much of a bragger on myself, but I do think when you have a lot of credibility as a journalist for years, people, you know, people sort of know what you're going to deliver, right? They know that it's not going to be an ambush, that it's not going to be crazy. And so we did have a lot of people who would literally DM me and say, hey, you know, I'm getting a request to do this interview. Can you want to do that? I'd say, yeah.
Twitter's the new way to connect, right?
And confirm. So I think that it was really important to me that it would be in the voices of people who were there, not the, well, I wasn't there, but, you know, having covered other cases, here's my take on it.
It
really was the friends, the family. They all were willing to come forward and tell their part of the story, because I think they knew that we were doing a real deep dive and framed journalistically around what happened.
And frankly, your credibility, I think, adds a lot to it. So
for however many years.
It's almost four now. Almost 4 years.
It's almost, you're a rookie.
Just over three.
You're an amateur.
Listen, when I'm 30 in a few years, I really will feel like I've made it.
Then you can have a martini. 100%. Once you're legal to drink on the show, Soledad, then you can drink with us.
That's the age limit, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I did want to ask you, speaking of Twitter, I saw this morning, did you just have surgery on your leg?
Yes, and I am wearing the thickest tights because I need like compression.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my God.
Not full surgery, but I tore my meniscus.
Oh, no.
I do a lot of horseback.
Can we ask
how you did it? Sure, and it's not a very dramatic story, but I do a lot of horseback riding, and it was so cold right before Christmas.
Yeah,
I just jumped off a horse. Like, it was a perfectly fine ride. My left knee, I tore everything about 7 years ago, and that I fell off a horse, and it was a mess. But my foot got stuck in the stirrup. Craziness, awful, bad surgery. Right knee, I just, like, wow, that was a nice ride. It's a little chilly. I jumped down. Boom, tweaked it.
No.
Then I went on vacation. We went to the Galapagos, climbing over lava rocks.
Jealous.
Casual.
Fabulous.
Very
I know,
casual.
I threw that in. Wasn't that well
done? That was nice.
Galapagos.
By the way, we should report.
On a boat.
It's currently 20 degrees in New York City right now, which is the warmest it's been.
80. Yeah. It was so terrible. Oh, like
that's
80, 85.
Terrible. I'm so sorry to hear that.
And my tan is peeling. I don't know if you guys can see this. My tan is peeling a little bit. It's, you know, right there.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, that's so nice for you.
Meanwhile, I'm literally translucent.
I'm in a Sherpa.
I'm like the whitest person on earth.
So I ended up kind of re-injuring it, and they went in to kind of deal with it. It's gross, but I did. I mean, I just want to point out, forget all that. The pictures of me, because I took the pictures with my phone while the guy is jabbing a needle. I was like, I don't know that I can do this.
You're live, like, I'm videoing your meniscus. Like, that's
as someone is puncturing
media.
Like a 20 gauge needle in your knee, that's bravery,
that's,
people.
Yeah, that's, you were on the front lines.
Yeah, I don't even think I wavered.
In all honesty, and continue to go through your day, I think that's amazing.
Well,
so
I did want a cocktail.
I was going to say, this brings us back to the cocktail.
Yeah.
Michelle told me,
Sorry. We're
having cocktails.
It's definitely, we
I was
just
like, Michelle,
assumed.
I can power through. Power through, Michelle, as long as I have that cocktail this morning.
Man.
If you stick around the studio long enough, we can maybe get one together
we'll
for
spike
you.
Your
Listen,
tea.
Let me tell you something. There's someone in this building with all the makings of a cocktail.
Definitely.
We have them right over there.
Right around here.
So where did you grow up?
Strong Island.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
That's where I got that.
I grew up in Long Island.
Nice.
And I loved it. Call me later.
Did you have an accent that you had to like work out?
Both of my parents are foreigners. So I didn't have a super strong accent, but I did. When I went off to college in Boston, I did say coffee. And people would be like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
And so I quickly lost some of the really mall. Mine wasn't really, really strong, but it was there. And so when I started reporting at NBC News a jillion years ago, they sent me to speech school. At Juilliard, and I had a woman who coached me, and I have to do things like
over and over.
The voice thing's crazy.
I mean, being podcasters, I will say, I did notice, like, you were very good, especially in Mysteries and Scandals. You speak so well. You enunciate every
syllable. It's completely fake. I've had people say to me, when I was not a very good reporter early on in my career, but they would say, but you enunciate so well. And I was like, well, I'm terrible, but you know, my enunciation is excellent.
You got something going for you.
Especially elderly people who are like, I really don't understand what's going on, but I can understand what you're saying. But I did. I went to NBC, sent me to anchor school to learn how to speak. And I'm Cuban, so I had to slow down.
Fiery,
okay.
Yeah, just fast.
If we get a martini in you, will it come out?
No, I slow down. And I get emotional. I do get emotional. But if you send me to Long Island to visit my family for 2 weeks, I'll
code
totally
switch.
Come back.
Yes.
And my husband's like, you got to stop there. Yeah.
I wanted to say, because you were talking about when you were at NBC News and before you were this great journalist, you've won Peabody Awards, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, a couple. Just a couple Peabody Awards.
Just came back from the Galapagos.
Just at the Galapagos with my Peabody Awards.
Here's my resume. It's in my pocket.
Yeah, exactly. You won for your reporting on Katrina, right?
It won a Peabody for Katrina, won a Peabody for election coverage.
Yes, 2012,
but you
correct?
Know what's really odd is that the award ceremony is so delayed that it doesn't really feel
right.
I mean, you're so disconnected from the awards because you're kind of like,
it's not like they open an envelope and you're in the audience.
Like I've done five stories since
the movie
then.
Just came out. You're like, thank you. No, it's just you literally you've done an entire year and 3 months of work on other things.
Right.
And sometimes you win awards for things where you're like, that was all right.
That was my best work.
The best one. The one I really like was this one, which nobody watched. So I really stopped caring that much. I mean, it's nice to put on a resume, but you just don't, because, you know, the things you loved, sometimes they're like, wow, six people watch, and that would be your entire family and your best friend watch that show.
We're familiar with
that. We're familiar with
that. Very familiar with that.
We just had a live show last week, and, like, basically all of Darren's family was there.
And my entire family.
Yeah,
it was like a reunion.
All right, that's what you need.
Perfect.
Like, thank you, mom, cousin, hey.
You won for Katrina first, right?
Yes.
That was your first Peabody. What did you do when you found out?
Yeah.
Like, were you freaking out? Or
no,
you're just like,
not at all. It was so weird. It was just like, oh, wow, right, Katrina. That was a year ago.
A long time ago.
So do I have to get up and like give a, okay, you know, great.
Yeah.
It's so disconnected. And especially in reporting where you're literally knee deep in muck and mud and your coverage is just so crazy and you don't sleep and your day. I mean, we've lived on the streets in an RV that I, next to Anderson Cooper's RV. So it's just so crazy.
Yeah.
So it's so disconnected. You've come back to life. You're back in your apartment. I remember walking, coming back into my apartment from covering the Asian tsunami. And my husband had done my children, daughter's hair. We only had girls at that point. We didn't have the boy. And I was like, oh, Lord, you know what?
I love how you go
on.
Oh, I go,
he did try.
I know,
but
that's
he
true.
Did what was kind of genius.
Yeah.
The I don't know how to do a braid ponytail, where they just do a ponytail holder.
That counts.
Right, and you're like, so 12, and then they have that braid that just sticks out of their head because, you know, we're a nappy-headed family. And I was like, I'm so glad I'm back.
Things can come back to normal.
Can
we need to matching clothes again, and everyone needs to be washed, hair.
Yeah.
It does. So you just feel like you come back to normal life.
Yeah.
And so it really does feel disconnected. It's so completely not as you see in movies where someone's, you know, you get the letter and you're like, oh my God.
Weeping so happy.
Right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, I was watching your Facebook Live earlier today and you mentioned that.
So hard to shoot that on yourself, by the way.
I was wondering,
I need to invent the armrest thing that like holds up, not holds up your phone,
not
but
a
holds
selfie
up your
stick,
arm.
But an arm.
Just does like this.
Trademark
like
it. You heard it here first. That's
my idea.
Watch out.
I also had the idea of nail salons in airports since I spend so much time in airports. But
someone
got to that.
Really work, yeah.
You're in the wrong career.
It worked great for somebody else.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I was watching and you were just talking about you're heading to Puerto Rico soon. I was wondering if you wanted to talk about what you're
hoping to
accomplish.
Yeah, we're trying to do, you know, we do a lot of work with AARP, which obviously focuses on the issues around elderly people. And they're very interested in figuring out kind of what's happening to the population that I think is ignored under the best of circumstances.
Yeah.
In Puerto Rico, in the U.S. Virgin Islands, which when have you ever even heard of anything after the first 3 days of reporting? Nothing.
Yeah.
So we're
going
to try to go back.
Too.
Oh, my goodness. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, to think that half the island does not have power.
Right.
Still.
And
like,
it's so crazy. It's so insane.
I don't have hot water for a day, and I'm like freaking
really
out.
Right. They shut off your water in your apartment.
Right.
Like, no, it's such a tragedy. And then, of course, they've had almost 300,000 people leave the island and head to Florida.
Of course.
And that will have a big change. Yeah. And, you know, it's a classic anybody who can get out goes, which means that people who are better funded, people who have better jobs, you know, it devastates the community left behind. And often, again, elderly people are just not really seen as a priority if they can't get out. So we're going to go in and investigate. We're planning to do a partnership with AARP to go take a look at that.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's get back to mysteries and scandals briefly.
Yeah.
One of the questions that Darren and I ask, whenever we talk to people in the media is, what are your thoughts about how the media works with investigations? Obviously, the first episode of Mysteries and Scandals is the O.J. Simpson case, the trial of the century. Obviously, you've worked in media directly. I think you're on both sides of the camera in a sense. What are your thoughts about how media played a role in the O.J. Simpson case?
You know, I think it is kind of a both sides, right? Because on one hand, the media is not there to be on the side of the investigators, right? They're to be on the side of the viewers and the people. And so it means asking questions and pushing and camping out on someone's steps to try to get information. That's the job. Yeah. On the other hand, you can completely understand how disruptive it can be, how, you know, even just the throngs of people all the time really became problematic. And if you think that there are things that you want to hold back in order to work on the investigation, it's often impossible to do because, frankly, oftentimes we would talk to the witnesses. I mean, I've done a number of stories where I was interviewing witnesses who hadn't been contacted by police yet. Wow. Getting them on the record. Yeah, I mean, you know, but in one case, in a story that I did in Pennsylvania, the fact that the police hadn't interviewed the woman who was an eyewitness to at least hearing the crime and then came out and the young man expired, died right in front of her, the fact that the police hadn't interviewed her ended up becoming a big deal because they were trying to cover up a bit of the murder. So it's a two-way street, right? I mean, it really is. And so I think for me, it comes back to then go do your job. Right. Then go do your job is to try to honor the investigation and stay out of the way as much as possible, but also do the work that you need to do and not be swayed because someone says, oh, we're going to get it all to you when we're good and ready. I mean, we all know that doesn't necessarily happen.
Darren, does it feel like wedding season has been extended lately to include the entire year?
Completely. I had back to back to back weddings the last 3 weekends in a row. It's November. Get the memo, happy couples.
Right? I also feel like couples are registered on way too many different sites. Do I put money towards their scuba diving trip in the Bahamas for the shower gift and hope it doesn't lead to a disastrous shark attack? How do I know if they really want that engraved casserole dish or if it's something someone's mom just said they should put on the registry because it's practical?
I know what you mean. That's why Zola is so great.
Is that the wedding registry I see ads for on the subway when I'm trying to avoid eye contact with strangers?
Yes, exactly. Zola is the ultimate wedding company that organizes all of your registries and includes over 500 top brands and 50,000 gifts, experiences, and cash funds. On Zola, brides and grooms can register for a crock pot or a shark-free honeymoon activity all in the same place. And couples can leave notes about why they put each item on their registry so guests can rest assured each item or experience is exactly what they wanted.
Good, because I'm pretty sure my cousin regifted me an antique apple peeler I got her from her registry last year. I would have bought her something else if I knew she wanted it only because it looked cool on her Pinterest board.
Zola is also one of the top-rated apps for iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. And because I'm a responsible adult, I can now buy the shower gift on my phone during my walk over to the bridal brunch.
That sounds great in theory, but I feel like my parents and their friends would be really confused by something like this.
Zola's amazing customer service team is incredibly patient and helpful. They're basically grandmother approved.
I'm on the app right now. This is amazing. There's even a group gifting option on here for guests to go in on a joint gift. That's so smart. No one wants to be the Venmo guy anymore.
Yeah, by the way, Matt, I'm still waiting on your Venmo payment from the last wedding gift we went halvesies on.
To sign up with Zola and receive a $50 credit towards your registry, go to zola.com/martinis. That's zola.com/martinis.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
we cover so much of, you know, police kind of, you know, making mistakes or not questioning the proper witnesses. And John and I are sitting here being like, how can this be? When you find that happening in certain mysteries or scandals that you're covering, does your reporting brain kind of switch gears and want to investigate what's going on with the police?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, you know, I think it just makes you ask tougher questions in any situation, even with a friend of yours, right? Yeah. Where you suddenly realize, like, I think they're holding out, right?
You You're not suddenly answering my question,
right? So you don't go into an investigation of them, but you certainly get a lot more skeptical.
Skeptical?
That's a word I don't know how to
say.
You
just want to make sure.
She did. She's skeptical.
Listen, there's several words that I can't say. Dinosaur is one because I'm from Long Island, and two is skeptical. Apparently.
All right, skeptical.
You know, you just start saying, I'm now going to push harder and I'm not going to assume what I'm being told is true. I'm going to make sure that I have multiple sources try to verify what I'm being told. In the case in Pennsylvania, it turned out that one of the officers who had responded was dating the mother of one of the kids who ultimately went to prison for the murder of this boy.
That's huge.
Right?
Yeah. That seems like a tie-in to me.
Yes. It was a really... So, you know, it was just a really interesting case, but nobody knew all of that at the beginning, but it seemed just odd.
I was going to say, does social media... does social media play a big part in what you're reporting on and your journalism?
I love social media. Love, obsessed.
I love your social
media. My social media,
too.
I'm like,
I'm very aggressive.
You
and
are
I'm actually trying to be nicer
way.
In 2018.
No,
and
don't
think
be
I'm
nicer.
Mean.
Don't
I'm
be
not
nicer.
Mean,
yeah, don't be.
But I am a
be
little...
Nicer.
I'm just going to ignore the people. I'm not going to have fights with people who you shouldn't have fights with. You know why? Because it puts you in a bad mood.
Yeah. Speaking of scandal, though... You know, you're very adamant on Twitter. You know, we know where you kind of lean towards things politically. What are your thoughts about what I think, you know, and this isn't a left or right statement I'm about to make, but a lot of people are looking at the current presidential administration as a scandal in a sense. Do you think, how do you think this is going to end? Do you have any ideas or thoughts?
I mean, are you with us? I actually, what's interesting, I do... I guess I think I'm firmly on the side is like I hate people who lie and I love people who deal in facts and data. So if there's anything that just pisses me off, whether it's on the left or the right.
No,
right?
Exactly.
If you're just a bold-faced liar to my face and everybody, I just... and also
so
if you're just making up... It does
on
kind
both
of...
ends of the road.
Yeah.
Right. One day someone said that to me. You just hate me, said some senator. I'm like, no, I hate everybody.
Yeah. You're just like, I'm an equal opportunity.
I do
hater.
Hate them all because I do feel like part of the gig, right, is to lie and figure out how to tell this lie to this group and this lie to this group and manipulate, maneuver people. I mean, it really is not a great job description, although I do think some people do give their life to public service and do so well. Not very many of them.
Right.
It'll be interesting now, all the people who are coming in to politics because they're very unhappy with what they've seen. And I think that's kind of awesome.
Thank God.
It's great. Yeah. So I really feel like I try to call out Can I say bullshit?
Yes, of course.
Just checking.
I curse all the time on
In
this show.
In honor of the Real Housewives.
Which are,
I try to call it bullshit, I think, is kind of what I try to do. And I think if you're a liar, regardless of where you are, I would like to see politics back to where people respected each other, even if they didn't agree.
Yeah.
We have these two great congressmen, Krishnamurthy and Banks, who come on this show that I do. Matter of fact, it's a Sunday morning political show. Left and right, and they're just they give me hope for America because they're so respectful
they
of each
disagree.
Other.
Yeah, yeah.
And they often agree, and they talk about as freshman congresspeople like how they wanted to serve the country. And I do. I'm like, God, I wish everybody were like you. And and I sometimes agree with Krishnamurthy, who's on the left, and I sometimes agree with Congressman Banks. I don't always sort of take one side against the other. I just think that they're respectful, good people. Like, they're just good people. And I'd love to see politics surrounded by just good people who say, listen, we might disagree on this, but how do we figure out bad people? And how do we do what's best for the American people?
Right.
I don't think that helping people in poverty is a partisan issue.
Exactly.
My dad kids' health care should be bipartisan.
Yeah. My dad calls that disagreeing without being disagreeable, which is what it should be. Do you remember the moment in your life where you wanted to be an investigative journalist? Like, do you remember what sparked you to kind of get pissed off and report on these things?
You know, probably Katrina sort of took me to the next level. Because it was an instance where, and that was, I think it was mostly a Democratic, It was a Democratic governor. I don't remember what the mayor was doing, but it was craziness. And it was just bullshit. Like, everyone was just lying. And I remember talking to the Fed guy Brown. Michael Brown. And he kept saying, like, we've got all this stuff coming in. And I'm like, where have you been the last
week? Private citizens are doing way more
than FEMA. Exactly. People are driving in their vehicles. So, and I said to him, Sanjay Gupta just rescued a guy on TV at this hospital downtown.
Yeah.
So what do you mean your guys can't get in?
Are you shocked about the similarities with Puerto Rico and Katrina, or is it not shocking?
Harvey was the same thing in Texas, where it was like private civilians were going in to rescue animals and people.
Yeah,
and
I guess I'm cynical now, so I'm probably not as shocked as I would be. I did used to think, like, people would talk about, it's hard to get into New Orleans. You're like, this is not a foreign land. I was in Thailand covering the tsunami in 2004, and supplies got into Banda Aceh, right?
Wow.
They were dropping supplies in 48 hours later. But, like, we've done this before.
It's possible to do this.
It doesn't have to be, like, the most surgical strike and the 82nd Airborne comes in mass numbers, but it could be food and supplies. And, listen, I thought the Coast Guard did an amazing job when they were able to get people off of roofs. I mean, there were lots of heroes. And one of the things that I've tried to focus on, I think, for my own sanity and also for the public at large is, like, there are good people who do good things.
Yeah.
Let's elevate them. Let's tell their stories. Let's highlight them. And let's not least give a platform to people who we think are despicable.
Right.
That's actually a really good sequitur, because on our show, we make a point of, you know, every documentary that comes out about a murder, it highlights the murderer and never really the victim. And we really want to honor the victim where we are, because those are the people that actually matter and actually, you know, aren't trying to get 15 minutes of fame. They're complete victims.
Well, I think when you focus on mysteries and scandals, you end up hearing a lot from the family members, because, you know, Chandra Levy, right, to talk to her mom and have her talk about, I can't even imagine as a mother to have your child. I literally cannot imagine.
Absolutely.
And to think that in a way, if there's any way that by sharing her story or by having this discussion or re-elevating the story, that we might be helpful to this search for her killer. You know, you do feel like this could be helpful. So I agree. I think you end up focusing on, there is a story of the killer or the alleged killer, what happened, but really, who was the victim? And what is the story that they have to tell and that their parents or their loved ones are trying to solve?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we see that on our show too. All the cases, you know, we do a different case every week, and we've had a couple that are unsolved, and we always think maybe there's a chance somebody listening will hear this and connect it.
Have a piece of information that they never thought was relevant or something. What are you most excited for about Mysteries and Scandals? Like, what's the one that sticks out in your mind as, like, the best one?
You know, I spent so much, the ones that I covered, Chandra Levy, I spent so much time covering Chandra Levy. It does feel like we'll be able to provide a service. Most of the people who talk to you, right, they feel like, thank you for telling the story again.
Can you remind listeners about Chandra Levy just quickly?
So she was that intern in Washington, D.C., who disappeared at first, and then horribly they found her body in a park, a jogging park, a place where a lot of people jog, and they were trying to figure out that, you know, what had happened in that scandal. And I remember covering that. It was right at the stage between when I started having kids And I always knew, I mean, obviously when someone's child die, horrible tragedy. But then you have a child and you're like, oh my God. Like, I don't even I remember watching the Levies do press conferences and I would think, how is she even upright?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know that I could form a coherent sentence, but their child is on the line, right?
Yeah.
This is what they have to do if it could have any chance at all in helping bring their child back.
Yeah.
They're brutal.
I wanted to go back just briefly about what we were just speaking about with people listening and maybe connecting dots and solving murders. As somebody who's spent your whole career investigating and being a journalist, there are a lot of armchair detectives at home watching maybe Mysteries and Scandals when it premieres, listening to our show. What advice do you have for them to maybe be more efficient in what they're listening to and how to go about doing it? Because one of the things, you know, we've spoken with FBI people, and one of the things that we often hear is they have to go through and sift through the tips that aren't really real, or, you know,
which they get
thousands of. Right. So for listeners who might want to contribute to the greater consciousness of discovering some of these unsolved murders and scandals and mysteries, what advice would you have for them?
I think people don't necessarily recognize the degree that confirmation bias has in their life, right? All of us have these biases about the things that we believe, right?
Yeah.
So there's someone who pops up and we just know they're guilty.
Right.
There's someone who pops up and we just know they're a liar. I remember Katie Couric interviewing JonBenet Ramsey's parents on the Today Show.
Yep.
Right after the killing of that young girl. And I if you guys remember, right, the basically people said that they're lying. This is
they're too stoic.
And I just remember thinking, we place our own value system right on top of these people that we've never met till they show up on this couch.
Right.
And I always think that I don't know how I would be in a tragedy. I don't know. I might be very stoic. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are a killer because of you don't respond as somebody else might respond. So now, clearly, there are many, many cases where people start doing bizarre things or, you know, and then obviously. But I guess I would say let the investigation unfold. You know, I think what investigators who are good do tell you, there's certain things that they sort of know. The data tells them about what this information shows them. This is the kind of killer it could be. This is the kind of, we know that somebody is often killed by somebody they know.
Right.
We know within 48 hours, if you haven't caught somebody who's been kidnapped, there's a really bad chance they're going to be alive. Right. But that's just data points.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to actually keep your mind open about what you're seeing. There's many cases where, I remember covering a case of a little girl who'd been kidnapped, and there's an Amber Alert out. But someone, she was in a like a grocery store, like a Quick Stop type grocery store, and a woman looked and just said, "I just got this vibe," and ended up rescuing the girl.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Because
my God.
She just felt like
this doesn't
something's
feel
not,
right.
Yeah, something's
and
not right.
It looked like a dad and his daughter, but she just said, "I just felt like it was not right." Mm. And so she called. The kid was rescued. You know, so I think it's that. I think it's you have to both rely on your gut, but also constantly be thinking, you know, on data points that sometimes can contradict. I mean, just really
That's
follow
good.
The investigation constantly, just which I think is what the best investigators do, right? Here's the data we know. Here's what my gut is telling me. Let me keep digging and keep digging and keep digging.
I we know that you're covering Michael Jackson and Anna Nicole Smith's deaths and, you know, the opioid crisis and use of pills and, you know, medication has gotten some coverage, but not enough that, you know, there's an epidemic sort of going on. Do you hope that your reporting on this will kind of, you know, open the floodgates for people actually being aware?
Yeah, it was interesting for us to see just the doctor's perspective on this, right? And how little oversight there was. And I think when you have a famous client who says, "I need X," you know, often there's a tremendous pressure to say, "Okay,
sure,
I'll be there in 5 minutes."
Right.
And very little interest in saying no, right? So this whole sort of codependency that forms where, it, you know, and you see the same thing actually in child stars, right? When mom is on the, is being paid by the kid, essentially, right?
Right.
Who steps in and says, you know
this
what, I don't
right.
need the money. Here's what we need to do. This is the right thing
right.
to do. And so to me, that was the interesting angle in digging in, the responsibility of the doctors and that sort of what unfolded. Yeah, you know, as you point out, it is a tremendous epidemic. It doesn't get enough coverage. It's really terrible, and it's I think we've been covering so much political news this year that so many other stories have just fallen
exactly
by the wayside.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you talk to somebody, everybody knows somebody who's died of an overdose.
Or multiple
knows
people.
Someone,
yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's interesting because I'm from a small town in Maryland, and you know, I go back for the holidays. We just got back from the holidays, and you go back, and almost every time I'm back, you're like, "Oh, did you hear so-and-so
from high school passed away?"
Yeah. And it, you hear about other pockets of populations in our country where it's like a small town, and it's like, "Oh, it's happening in this small town. What an epidemic in the small town." But then when you take a look back and you look at the whole map of the country, it's like, no,
it's
this is everywhere. And
yeah,
it's a
crazy.
Really serious thing. So,
yeah. And then also just the new drugs being layered on top of that.
Right.
You know, what people actually die of.
Fentanyl and this and that. And it's
powerful. That was what Jackson had. Wasn't that fentanyl that he was on or something?
It
or
was,
allegedly.
That's what they were.
Yeah.
They were, you know, they had to put him to sleep essentially
right.
so
oh,
he'd get
right.
any rest, which again, at some point,
something's
who
going
was
on.
The person who said,
right.
this is not how this works.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right? There's got to be someone. But I do think when it involves celebrity, even Anna Nicole Smith, where people would see her spiraling, you could see her spiraling out of control. And there was, who was the
people
person who's going to stand
it.
Up and say,
right.
you know what? I just, we got to stop this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh.
Well, not to end on such
no,
a
No, we're going to end on this positive note. Twitter question.
Oh, we did
I
get
think.
A Twitter
you,
question.
You take it,
oh,
John.
What was the Twitter question?
This was great. A Twitter question. We put a little bit of a call out just before we came on air.
Yeah,
it was
this
literally
is a good
minutes
one
before.
Question to ask you.
Good question. This is from Soledad on O'Brien.
Well, I love her. She's amazing.
She's great.
She's good looking.
She tweeted us. She said, why is she the so lighting. Amazing? And I don't know if maybe we should answer this.
I'm more than happy to start.
She's articulate.
It's kind of a long answer.
She has a couple of Peabodys.
So how much time do we have left in the show? Because, I mean, we probably should have started
with this. I
don't
know. My show's wrapping up. I don't know. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
We probably should have started with this. Because, yes. I mean, this could really take us through the whole
thing. That's true.
Thing.
We have another probably 45 minutes if you really
want
to.
So, you know, if you
want to
dial in my kids, who will be happy to rebut every amazing thing.
Mom's okay, but yeah, exactly.
No, but Soledad, you are amazing.
Oh my goodness, you're so sweet.
Thank you for having or coming on to our show.
You're so articulate. You're so fantastic. We hope you come back. We promise to have martinis this time.
Michelle,
I don't care if it's 9:30 a.m.
Michelle is nodding. She's like, room, yes, I'm gonna hold them
I mean, I like to blame Michelle given Matt's not here.
Right.
So
yeah, that's
Michelle, this is on you.
Matt usually drops the ball. But Soledad, Mysteries and Scandals, premiering
Friday night.
By the time this show is out, it should be
Friday, January 5th.
Yeah, for anyone out there.
Yes, it's going to be quite a show.
Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes. Amazing. You do
Thank
such
you.
A great job.
Thank you. It's
and
a great show.
Come back and see us sometime.
It's a deal. Love
Thank you
right.
so much.
You bet. My pleasure.
Bye.